This is the second of our Betrayal Festival reflections on past vestries of St Peter's. I want to turn my attention now to the 1942 vestry with a snapshot of that. I guess the greatest contrast between that and the 1881 one is that whereas that first vestry were all what we would now call English immigrants, it was a different story. In 1942, most of them had been born in New Zealand. There were two English immigrants and one from Glasgow. This, two of them had fought in Gallipoli, so it was a much more New Zealand-born vestry. The vestry had become less reliant on elite men. It was more working men there, and I guess the illustrative figure of that was Walter Homan, People's Warden from 1920 to 1947 and Treasurer from 1938. He'd been president of the Otago Tramways Union, so he was high up in the union hierarchy. Then if we look at a snapshot of the 1952 vestry, it's a very different situation again. St Clair residents from the managerial class, upper middle class people, have now moved into positions of parish leadership. And there's an irony here. You may recall that when talking about the formation and start of St Peter the Less, there'd been considerable tension between St Clair Anglicans and the leadership of the parish, particularly Canon Button, about the fact that St Peter the Less was not going to be allowed any kind of significant development. His life was to be kept as a chapel of ease, a mission chapel, and a number of St Clair people had slipped away from parish life. Now, it was a different story. The St Clair managerial class were very much moving into the top slots. And I guess a prime example of that is Dick Wedekind. He'd started off working in the head office of New Zealand Rail in Wellington. He'd been very involved in the Waifatu parish. He moved to Dunedin in 1944 because of increased authority given to the locomotive engineering branch in Otago. And pretty much he became treasurer, synodsman and church warden right through the 50s, and he was on the vestry through the 60s, only stepping down at the end of the 60s. A man of considerable then professional skills which the parish needed, and his wife was the formidable Hannah Ethel, dressed in a tweed jacket and fur coats, just kind of fur thing that wrapped around the neck. She set a standard of upper middle class gentility in the parish. Of course, not everybody in the vestry was like that. One thinks of Ardy Hill, a storeman and an express carrier who lived in Baker Street. He'd been a parishioner under Brian King. And in fact, he spent 56 years on the vestry, right into the 1950s. He'd been the vicar's warden at the time of the Jubilee celebrations in 1932. So very much a working class kind of a guy. One strange thing about him, in the 1890s, he'd been coming home down Helena Street one night after seeing a young woman, and some stranger we'd never met just drove a penknife into his upper chest and walked off. He was never caught. It wasn't a serious injury, but a very bizarre thing to have happened. Well, the St Clair hegemony continued through the 1950s and into the 1960s. I could mention another couple of other names, Lyndon McCassie and Frederick Buxton. But as the 1960s wore on, it became a more artisan vestry. J.G. Alderton, church warden and synodsman from the 1960s on, was a builder resident in Fitzroy Street. Alex Holmes, plumber, parish handyman, well-known parish personality, took turns as vicar's warden and people's warden and would be around in parish leadership circles for decades thereafter. Finally, I want to talk about the rise of women. A very odd thing is that although women had been given the right to vote and to be on parish leadership bodies, it took a long time in this parish for that to happen. There had been a Miss Fleet who was on the vestry in the 1950s. Somebody sold off her fur coat at a parish jumble sale. She got by the Mediterranean after that. But the crucial turning point was 1973 when Grace McCallum became the parish treasurer, thereby being on vestry, and would hold that position for decades thereafter. And she would in fact become vicar's warden from 1998 to 2000. Grace ran the parish's finances on the jam jar theory of financing. You had little accounts for different purposes and you just get them primed up and paying out for that particular purpose. That was what responsible parish accounting was in her view. But thereafter, women began to come on steadily onto vestry. Marjorie Palmer, Joan Dutton, appreciate their contribution very much because of their very neat or tight parish minutes. Julie Henderson, Anne Turvey, Barbara Rogers, Rhonda Tatnall, to name some of the names. And we begin to see women wardens frequently: Faye Noel Brown, Denise Walker, Raylene Ralston, and Coral Paris. Perhaps the most vivid example of the changeover was the way in which Kate Patterson, who hadn't been on vestry, was seconded to lead what was called the Project 2000 project, which developed the link between the hall and the church. In fact, the project went so well, it was completed by 1999. And thereafter, Kate would be on the vestry to the present day and had a spell as a church warden also. Finally, in conclusion, but ironically, it was not until the closing years of the 20th century that the parish's leadership became more artisan, with a more even representation of women, at a time when South Dunedin was losing its manufacturing base and becoming less of an industrial suburb.